Amen. God is real. God is good, isn't he? Amen. Not just summertime, but how good is God? All of the time, God is good. Yeah, amen, brother. We appreciate you this morning. Good to see our young men. Amen. All of them ain't going to be in prison. Amen. All of them ain't in gangs. All of them ain't on dope. Some of them leading Lord's church and singing the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. And we got many are here today serving the Lord, young adults. That's good. I love to see younger men serving the Lord. Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you. Yeah, this morning we want to thank those who are visiting with us. Amen. It was summertime. We got a lot of members are visiting, going vacations and things of that nature. But it's good to have those who are in town and those who are visiting with us, not members of the Church of Christ. You're the honored and distinguished guests of our audience. We love you. Amen. We want you to be a member of the true church, the only one you read about in the Bible. That's right. There's only one, and it is the Church of Christ. We want you to know that. The Bible said to save them in the church, and that's where you need to be at, in the church that you can be saved in. Amen. You do that by believing Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess him to be the Son of God. And we'll baptize you this morning, right now, for the remission of your sins. And the Lord will clean you up. Amen. Bring you up a new man, born again, and regenerate an heir of God and joint heir of Jesus Christ. Continuing our study of the book of John. The book of John is going to be a great study. A book that one of the four gospels. This one is not in sync with Matthew and Mark and Luke. And it is a book all written by the Apostle John, and he calls himself the disciple, and he really works on belief. This whole book will be dealing with helping the disciples believe. The Bible said many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, not written in this book, talking about the book of John. He said, but these that are written that you might believe. So this book can help our belief system. The first sermon we preached last week, we called that one, the Word was made flesh. In John chapter 1, the Bible says there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning
with God.
With God, and it's, all things were made, any by him. Him. All things were made by him, and without him
was not anything, was not made, anything that was made,
that was made. So this him, we learned in chapter 1, you can go back and get the CD, that this him was the Word, this him was with God, this him was God, this him was the light of the world, this him was the true light, this was the light that darkness could not, this him was the light that darkness could not comprehend, this him was came to his own received him not, this him, this same one, they killed him, they will be, and he will give those people who believed in him the power to become the sons of God. This him was Jesus the Christ. So the him was in the beginning. He was not created. He was made flesh. He became flesh, which means he was the creator. He was there in the beginning. When God said, let us make man in our own image, he was talking about Jesus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, or one God. They were there in the beginning. He was in the genesis of time. He was God. He is God. Don't let nobody ever tell you he's not God. Some people want to say he's not God. He was a man. He was God and man at the same time. Amen. Yeah, but he was not without sin. That's the difference between him and us. He know we can be tempted. Many of us are tempted, yet he was tempted yet without committing sin. However, they killed him. They killed him, and he had to die for us. It was the glory, agony, and glory of the cross. The agony and glory, the agony was his suffering. The glory was for us. The glory of the cross was to give us that hope of salvation that we would not have without him. Now, this morning, verse 19, we pick it up in verse 19 of John chapter 1. John, the writer, does not deal with Jesus' birth and all that. He jumps right into his life. So what John is now into, Jesus must be in his early 30s. He's going to die about 33 years old. And so this is the last few years of his life, where he started to gather his disciples, and John is coming now on the scene to bring and announce a voice of the wilderness who will be announcing the coming of Jesus to Christ. So John is here. Here's Jesus. He's getting ready to go into his ministry and really start to head toward Jerusalem. Yeah, he'll weep when he gets to Jerusalem. He'll weep there. You know what? You can't be an effective preacher unless you're weeping over the people. We ought to go out in the world weeping like Jesus weeped when he went to Jerusalem. He knew Jerusalem would be where he would die. And so this morning, verse number 19, he said, this is
the record of
there's
John.
There's my title right there. Here comes the record. And here's what John records. This is the record of John. And he said, when the Jews
sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem
to ask him,
who art thou?
John, this is John. This John has not been identified by John. Here he hasn't. He just said there's a man named John. And so the people come and ask John, who art thou? And he confessed.
And denied not.
And denied not, but confessed.
I am not the Christ.
I'm not the Christ. So he's shooting straight with him. Verse number 21, he said, and they asked him,
What then? Art thou Elias?
Are you Elias?
And he said,
I'm not him.
Art thou that prophet?
Are you a prophet?
And he answered,
No. They said unto him,
Who art thou?
Who are you then? If you're not Christ, if you're not a prophet, if you're not Elias, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. So these Pharisees that sent them to him. And then he says to him,
what sayest thou of thyself?
He said, what sayest thou? What you tell us about yourself? And then he says what?
I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness.
I'm a voice of the one crying in the wilderness. And he says,
make straight the way of the Lord.
He's quoting Isaiah. So these Pharisees in the Old Testament, he said, I'm the one that Isaiah talked about. That voice that would cry in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And said the prophet Isaiah. And they were sent
of the Pharisees.
The Pharisees. These are the same people going to kill him. And they asked him.
And said unto him, Why baptizest thou then?
Why are you baptized then, if thou be not the Christ? Who gives you this authority to be baptizing folks? John is baptizing a lot of people. Elias and neither a prophet. Why are you baptized? So John answered him, said, I
baptize with water.
Now notice this is important to the end of this lesson. John only uses water. This is important for those who are in the audience who have never been baptized. Or maybe you were baptized before, but you wasn't taught the truth. You only got wet. Amen. If you are not a member of the true church, if you're not communing every week, you're not a Christian. Because you just got wet. You just got in some water. Amen. And when you get in water, there's something missing. You got to have truth matched with the water. And I'm going to get to that here in a minute. But I want to make sure you understand that you can't say you didn't know. You're not saved. You're not a Christian if you haven't obeyed the truth. Somebody said, bro, I've been baptized 5 times. You've been baptized 20 times. But unless you contact the water, blood, and the spirit, you're not a Christian. Amen. Listen to the book now. I'm coming back to Jesus answered, I'll baptize water. But John answered,
but there's standing one water. Among you.
Now he said what?
Whom ye not.
There's another one coming you don't know. He is one who's coming after me.
He's preferred before me. Whose shoes latched, I am not worthy to unloose.
He don't even feel worthy to untie his shoes. Read.
These things were done
in
Bethborough.
Yeah, that's also known as Bethany. He says, beyond Jordan.
Where
John
was
baptized in the Jordan River. And the next day, after they questioned him, John see Jesus
coming unto him.
And then he says to him,
behold, the Lamb of God.
He said, there he is. That's the one right there I'm talking about. The Lamb of God. He said, that's him. That's the guy I've been talking to y'all about. He's coming. He's the Lamb of God. And what are you going to do?
He's going to take away the sins of the world.
In Revelation chapter 5 and the verses number 6. In Revelation chapter 5, the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb that belongs to God. What is his purpose? His purpose is to take away what? The sins of the world. Notice the Revelator writing, Revelation 5 and verse number 6.
I beheld.
And lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts. In the midst of the elders, in heaven, there stood a lamb. There's a lamb in heaven. And he said,
it had been slain.
It had been killed. This is a lamb that had already been slain. Whoa, read.
Having seven horns and seven eyes.
Yeah.
Which are the seven spirits of God.
I just mean completeness. A symbol only symbolizes. It's not a symbol if it don't symbolize itself. That's all it's saying. Seven means complete. This is God. And this is Jesus in heaven. And he said he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts
and the four and twenty elders fell down before the Lamb.
Notice they fall down before the Lamb. They fall down in heaven. There's this Lamb there. They fall down before the Lamb. The elders do. They worshiping him. And every one of them harps and gold
vials full of
odor, which are the prayers of the saints. and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under earth, such as in sea or that are in them, heard I saying, blessing, honor, and glory, and power will be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. Notice who he is. Unto the Lamb forever and ever. Verse number 16. And said to the mountains and rock, fall on us, hide us from the face of the one that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the what? The Lamb. So the Lamb is in heaven. And he said, I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues, stood before the throne and stood before the Lamb. The Lamb was clothed. The Lamb is in heaven. The Lamb is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God belongs to God. For God so loved the world that he gave. Which means, what did he give? He gave the world the Lamb. He provided the Lamb for the world. Now, under the old law, the lambs were innocent. And it was required under the old law. I'll just give you the text. In Luke 4:3, there had to be an animal sacrifice, which was a lamb that was given for the sins of the people, offered by the priest. And the Israelites also remember used the lamb on a Passover. At the Passover time, there was a lamb sacrificed. And daily, one in the morning and one in the evening. This is found in Numbers 23, 28, and Exodus 29, and Exodus 12. That's the Old Testament. Because of the innocence of the lamb was required as the sacrificial animal. The sacrifice that was made was the lamb, a animal sacrifice, was made under Old Testament law. And Jesus becomes the sacrificial lamb under New Testament law. Now, let me give you some insight on giving. You can't outgive God. There is no dollar amount that measures up to the giving of the Lamb of God. Well, that's why God said, if a man purpose in his heart, so let him give, for God loving a cheerful giver. In other words, God said, you ought to give till you hurt, because I gave my best for you. And when you're a Christian, and you ball up your little $5, and you don't put nothing in play, and you don't understand the price that was paid to save your soul, and you keep your money, you remember who wake you up, you remember whose job it is, you remember who gave you life, you remember who give you breath, you remember who gave you that job, and you remember the Son on the cross, and when you see him on the cross, you give right. Nobody got to give you no percentage. You give that you can't give. You give that grudgingly of necessity, because God done gave. When you feel like you, if you're going to put $20 in, you grudgingly, I don't want to keep it. God don't need your money. He wants your heart. He wants you to know, I gave my best. Now, what dollar number you going to put on that? I got to give till it hurts you. You give until you feel like it's a necessity. If I tell you, you got to give this much, that's a necessity. God said, no. I love a cheerful giver. I gave the best. That's why I give the best when I come to worship. I give my best effort, my best singing, my best giving. Amen. My best worship. I don't come here, let me just drop this while we're on this part. Because some of us come to worship like it's just a game. This ain't no ball game. This ain't no about, we're in the presence of God. Some of us, like, we just walk around and do stuff. You need to be in decent and order. When we take the meal, you need to be focused on the lamb hanging on the cross. You ought to be focused on his price, the life he gave. That's why we ain't going to be beatboxing, praise dancing in here. We're in the presence of God. Amen. And we don't understand, worship is not a game. Worship ain't a place we come and just have fun. We're coming to honor the King. Amen. You know, I always say this about worship. Many people understand Judge Judy. They call her mean. But everybody stand up when Judge Judy walk in. And they sit down. They take the hat off. And they pull the pants up. Some of us walk in with eyes sagging around the table. No, I'm just kidding. What's the point? Understand where we are. And we are before the judge. This is God. And God said, I've given the lamb, an innocent one who did no wrong. And Peter, Philip, when he was preaching to the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, let's get Acts chapter 8 and the verses number 32. I thought I'd throw that in there. Because here, understand that we understand there was a great sacrifice that none of us can match. In Acts 8, 32, the book says, and place of scripture which you read was this, he was led as sheep to the slaughter,
And like a lamb before his shearer, so opened he not his
like
mouth.
Like a lamb. So when Philip preached to the eunuch, he was talking about Jesus as the Lamb of God. He would be, he was quoting Isaiah 53. He would be led as a sheep to the slaughter, but sure as shearer is dumb, he would open not his mouth. Now we got the lamb, don't we? Who is he? Jesus of Christ. What was he? Lamb. Why was he a lamb? Innocent. What does lamb, innocent lamb have to shed for the sins of the world?
Blood.
Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Got to be some bloodshed. Now, verse number 30, let's go back to verse 30, give you history on, I gave you a little history on the lamb, his price, his value, and none of us can match it. So I hope you don't think because you give money, you done something big. We talking about life, time, your sacrifice, your body, your coming to worship is given, your serving in ministries is given, your little money you're putting in the plate is given. That ain't nothing that God needs. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Some of us act like we're doing something. I'm not going to beg you to give. Amen. You ought to give. Yeah, you ought to give above and beyond. Amen. Time, effort, everything you can give to God. You never put God on the back burner. I was telling someone yesterday, get Hagar 1:8. Let me jump over there. Some of us want to put jobs and everything else before God. Get Hagar 1:8. Let me show you what you're doing. Go over there real quick. This is offshoot, but you need to hear it. Yeah, offshoot, offshoot. You sure need to hear it. That's over in your Old Testament. You got it, verse 8? Get verse 8 for me. What the book say?
Go up to the mountain.
Yeah.
And bring wood.
Yeah.
And build a house.
Uh-huh.
And I will take pleasure in it.
Right, read.
And I will be glorified, said the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Ye look for much, and lo, it came to little.
Yeah, you thought you were going to do something by missing worship, you're going to make more money? You were trying to get much. God said, look here. It came to what?
Little.
Little, read.
And when ye brought it home.
You brought it home, thought you had done something.
I did blow upon it.
I blow upon it. I mean, it ain't going to do you no good. It's just like a. God said, you're going to put money before me? You bring that little extra change, you home next week, you're wondering why you broke again? It's because you put that money before God. Amen. You put that job, that overtime before God. God said, I'll blow it. You broke Monday? What happened? Why your car broke down? You had to pay everything you made on your car, piece of junk car. I said, I blowed on it so it'd do you no good. Mm. Look at the book now.
Why?
Why?
Said the Lord of hosts.
Said the Lord of hosts.
Because of mine house that is waste.
Yeah.
And ye run every man unto his own house.
Yeah. Go back up verse 5, 6, 6. Watch this. One more point. I'm coming out of it. But I'm going to give it a little bit right now. I'm whooping y'all with it. Because folk really believe that they got control of the church when they hold their money back. You ain't doing nothing but hurting yourself. Look at what the book say.
Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.
You better think about what you're doing. Read.
Ye have sown much.
You sow much.
And bring in little.
You think your bank account good. It ain't going to profit you no good. Read.
Ye eat.
You eat.
But ye have not enough.
You ain't satisfied with what I give you. Read.
Ye drink.
You drink.
But ye are not filled with drink.
Read on. Read.
Ye clothe you, but there is none
I gave
warm.
You food, clothes, and money. It ain't happy enough for you. Read.
And he that earneth wages to put it into
so
a
you,
bag with holes.
You going to make more money. And God is saying, you put it in a what?
A bag.
It's like all that money you make without God, every time you put it in your pocket. No, he said you put it in a bag with what in it?
Holes.
A hole. It go right through. In other words, my friends, until we see Jesus on the cross, money ain't got nothing to do with it. God said, you forgot I gave you food, clothing, and something to drink. And everything you think you're making, you putting before me, understand this. It ain't doing you no good because I'm going to blow on it so it don't benefit you. You ain't getting no blessing from it. And you put it in the pocket, it's going to fall out. In other words, there's no blessing coming with it. Amen. Preach, Brother Brooks. I am. Yeah, I had to drop that one on y'all. Yeah, I dropped that one on you. Let's go back over. They want me to get off of that. Let's go back to verse 30, John 1. Let's go back over there. I smoothed that one in. I eased that one in there. Then a whoop. You know, sometimes you got to ease in a hammer. Bah. Let's get to verse 30 now. Let's get back to John. John 1:30. Hear what the book say.
This is he of whom I say.
This is he of whom I say what?
After me coming a man which is preferred before me.
Yeah, he was what?
For he was before me.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel.
Yeah, yeah.
Therefore am I come baptizing with water.
See, I'm making this man known to Israel, because that's why I'm doing water. John Brad Record saying,
I saw the Spirit descending from heaven
like a dove,
and then abode upon him,
and I knew him not.
But he that sent me to baptize with water,
same said unto me,
upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending,
read,
and remaining on him,
read,
the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost.
That's the guy. Who is he? Verse 34.
And I saw.
John said, I saw. Here
and
you
bear record that this
I'm
is the Son of God.
Gonna tell y'all, here's my record. I'm going to tell you, he was who?
The Son of God.
That's what he's talking about. It was Jesus who he was talking about. Let's go to Matthew 3 account. I need to get over there real quick. If God revealed to John who Jesus was. Let's go to Matthew 3 again. Real quick over there, briefly. And the book says, in those days came
John the Baptist.
Now, there the first time. Just side note. Just another one of those side notes. I just don't understand this one, though. I don't get it. We've been bamboozled in the world. America, bamboozled over this thing, Baptist. And notice that. In those days came who?
John the Baptist.
That's a who. That's not a church. Notice that. This is the only time you read Baptist in the Bible. It ain't got nothing to do with a church. I mean, my thing is, why can't people see this? They blind. You got to be blind to miss this. Why can't people see? There is no such thing as a Baptist church. It wasn't in the Bible. It wasn't in existence at the time. This is what John did. He was baptizer. That's all. That's all that means. And we bought into it. Hook, line, and sinker. I'm born a Baptist, raised a Baptist. What does that mean? You born baptizing. And died baptizing. That's all that means. See how silly it sounds? It even sounds silly. Why are we buying stuff like this? You know, our world. I always talk about it everywhere I preach. I go everywhere preaching now. And one of the things I'm talking about black people. I'm talking about our people. That's a predominant. I don't have no racist bone in me anywhere. But my predominant audience is going to be the African American. My question is this. Why is it that we are so excited about Martin Luther King fighting over our civil rights? At what point do we get excited when men like me stand up for our spiritual rights? Saying we don't have to be crazy. We don't have to be bamboozled. We don't have to listen to what these reverends say. When the Bible say John the Baptist, leave it at that and use your head. We have a spiritual right to know the truth. We also have a spiritual right to expose the so-called community leaders who lie to us about this kind of stuff. And I will be on record. I will be one that will fight against them. Because they are misleading our people, and those people are my friends and family and my race of people. And I'm not happy about that. No more than we were happy when they shot us with when they hung us in trees and shot us with water. That didn't hurt the physical body. I'm talking about the soul now. And I'm not talking about a white man. I'm talking about we doing it to ourselves. One of the things about our fight against which is all black lives matter, all souls matter. My what black life ain't about black and white, about a soul. That's what matters. In the eyesight of God, it's the soul. Ain't the color of the skin. Amen. I'm not talking about anything got nothing to do with what Martin Luther King. I'm talking about the soul salvation of our people. And we don't have to buy into this kind of stuff. He was a baptizer. There was no Baptist church. And if you were smart, you wouldn't be in a Baptist church today and die in it. Put it on CD. Put it on YouTube for me. I said it. Brother Brooks. I would not be found dying in a Baptist church, because there is no such church in the Bible. Stay right there for a minute, because that's where my friends and family, my family, man, we all grew up. You know, nothing wrong with the people, but the teaching we bought into were bamboozled. They bamboozled them. Same guys that wore their robes and drove them Cadillacs and took our money. You know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me crazy. The plate went around four or five times. Reb drove nice stuff, bro. He ate good. They still doing it today. And some of y'all flocking to them. The mega churches. Some of you run over there. You going over there. That's because they got a lot of, Joel Osteen got a lot of people. Ain't no salvation there. You say, Rick, I get a little upset by this. It bothers me. It bothers me because I lost a brother. And that's something. I get criticized, but I don't care. You say what you want to say. That's what drove me to start doing what I do. That's why today I'm a popular preacher among churches of Christ because I don't back off on this. And we ain't going to have no craziness going on at this congregation. And we're going to stick with it because we losing our friends and our families to this true untruths, to these laws, and to these Baptist preachers, and these Methodist preachers, and these Catholic priests. These people are false teachers. They're false doctrine. No churches. People are going to lose their souls in them. If you're visiting with us today, I'll speak the truth in love, but I don't take it back. You have a right to do whatever you want to do. I have a right to stand with the truth. Obligated under Christ. In Matthew 3, I'm just right there this morning. I think I got off my thing a little bit, but it disturbs me. You follow what I'm saying? It's disturbing to me to be an American. And you, under a constitution of freedom, we got the freedom to be a devil worshipers. And some of us buy into it. That ain't got nothing to do with our souls. Those men were not spiritual men. They wrote the Constitution. Constitution of freedoms. Yeah. I'm just saying, hey, as a people, let us not just buy into folks what folks say. Yeah. So that's why I got on there, because it bothers me. And I see it on TV. I can't even stand and watch them on TV showing out all that hooping and jumping and jumping. Ain't nobody taught you nothing. And we don't know. Really? Man, come on, get my praise on. Oh, Lord, let's get our praise on. Thank you, Jesus. What did he say? Did you learn anything? Do you know what 1 + 1 is? He didn't teach you nothing. He just got you emotionally charged, just like you get in the club and it feels right, and the devil know it feels good to you, and he's going to give you more of that. There ain't plenty of them out there to give you that. You want some truth, you got to sit down and listen to the scripture. That's what I'm going to give you right here. Now he says, now, Lord, there was no such thing. Now he said, John, so it said, let me just, in verse 2, he said, saying,
repent ye. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
He's saying y'all better change. So, no, I'm talking about today. Like you people that just choose to miss worship and do whatever you want, you better repent. Yeah, listen to what he says. He's telling them, folk. For he is the one who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, the way of the Lord.
Make his path straight.
The same John had his raiment of cloth.
Camel's hair.
Matthew is giving an account of what this John we're talking about. Like, this John the Baptist. He wore common clothes, camel's hair, leather girded about it. He ate locusts, and he was a common man. But this common man is bringing the most powerful introduction of the most powerful man in the world. That will be the Lamb of God. Then he went out to Jerusalem.
And all Judea. And
all around about.
Region about Jordan.
And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing
their sins.
Yeah, read.
But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
It's just a deadly snake. That's all they were. They're going to kill Jesus. This is what he's talking about. The wrath coming is going to be on all those who don't obey. It's going to be the Romans 1:18. Got time to go there. Bring forth therefore the fruit meets of repentance. He's saying to them Pharisees, y'all know you're playing religion, right? You stand up in front of everybody and make these long prayers and all that. You hypocrites, that's what he called them. No, folks, that's why I tell brother up here, if you going to pray, you got to open the prayer, do open the prayer and leave it alone. You got to invitation prayer, do invitation prayer. You don't preach my sermon. I preach. You pray. And then you got open the prayer, you pray for opening. Thank you for being here. You got invitation prayer, you pray for the people who ask for prayer. You got communion, you pray for communion. You don't pray for the closing. Oh, thank you, Lord. We take the Lord's Supper. Thank you for we're going to go home. No, we didn't tell you to close nothing. Right. Learn how to pray. What are you saying? Some people get in front of the church just to pray so they can be seen. Prayer has a purpose. Yeah, amen. So I'm talking to all the brothers who lead prayer. If we give you closing prayer, do closing. Don't preach. Don't go back and do invitation prayer after we gave you closing. We're trying to leave now. Yeah, you everybody up, everybody ready to go out. You stand up 10 minutes later. You still praying about my sermon. Come on now. Amen. In the name of Jesus, all of us say in Jesus' name, amen. Hurry up. Yeah. Whatever these religious folk, you don't be religious and just in front of people like these Pharisees, they pharisaical. You know, what they're trying to do is present a religious group. And he said, you better change. In other words, you guys are not all holy. Y'all got to repent. And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham now, Father, for I say unto you that God is able
for these stones to raise up children unto Abraham.
Yeah. Now also the axe laid at the root of the trees.
Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down
and cast into
the fire.
Yeah, you got the axe. The axe ain't laying right at your tree. Yeah, you can keep on missing worship, but that tree going to come down one day. What he's saying to them, y'all better get right before you die. Yeah, because there's going to fire coming after that. Notice what he said. Y'all understand what I mean, right? Yeah, he said, in other words, we better quit playing games. He said, I ain't indeed baptized you water unto repentance. But he that coming after me is mightier than I am.
And I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear.
He said, I baptize you with the
Holy Ghost.
That's going to happen in Acts 2. And that's what people are going to get baptized, going to be saved. But the people with fire, it's going to be a baptism of fire. They ain't salvation. Thank you. Whose fan is in the hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his sweet into the garner. He will burn up the chaff and unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus. This is why
we're Galilee to Jordan, yeah. To John.
So here's Jesus coming to John to baptize him. So Matthew records, here's what's going on. John buffet saying,
I have need to be baptized of thee.
Jesus comes to die for me. Tell John, baptize me. Jesus said, man, hold on. You Pope ain't one baptizing me. And Jesus answered and said to him,
suffer it to be so now.
You know where do it. Go through. I know you don't want to, but you do this. Why you do this? Because they're becoming what?
To fulfill all righteousness.
Now somebody said, why did Jesus get baptized? He had no sin. Well, that right there in your scripture. Start reading. Well, that ain't no hard question to answer. He said, but to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. It's anti-baptizing people. I'll go here and say, well, Jesus, he didn't have no sin. He had to be baptized. It tells you why. He had to fulfill all righteousness. And the Bible says Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway up out of the water. Lord, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of the Lord descending like a dove and lighting up on him. And a lower voice from heaven
saying,
this voice come from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Get my boy right quick. And now here it is. The record of John is that, notice, at Jesus' baptism, all three are present. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The fulfilling of righteousness is happening when Jesus is getting baptized. God is revealing to Jesus, to John, he said, this is the voice from heaven came and said, this is my beloved Son on whom I well pleased. So John is saying, God told him at his baptism who he was. God, the Father, spoke at his baptism. He spoke at the transfiguration. When Peter was preaching, he said that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up in the mountain. And while he was just speaking, a voice from heaven spoke to him. He wanted, let me be a church for Elijah, a church for Moses, a church of Christ. And he said, and while he spoke, that voice came. He said, hold on, this is my Son, whom I'm well pleased. Were you him? So here's that voice. That voice is the voice of the Father. So John records that Jesus, when he baptism, like this, when Jesus was baptized, present was the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father speaks. They're all on the scene at the same time. That's why that baptism is not baptism for remission of sins. Because there is no sin in Godhead. Use your head. Couldn't have been for remission of sin. He had no sin. He knew no sin. And God could even be in the presence of sin. Why do you think the Father left the Son on the cross? Because the Son was taking on sin. And Jesus, God is too holy to be in the presence of sin. Too holy. Let me give you the rest of it. Let's go to 1 John. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. Briefly, because I got to get to this. Now here's the visitor. John records Jesus was baptized. He had no sin. So, and then Jesus gets up out after he died. He gets up and he gives a command to go in the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe in this what? Baptized shall be saved. And 1 John what?
This is he that come by water and blood.
Now, he said, now, no, this, John came by water only. John's baptism was the water only, right? Mm-hmm. Is that right, y'all? Mm-hmm. That's John's baptism. Okay, now watch, this came by water and blood. Read.
Even Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Not by water only, but by water and blood.
He now take water and blood now. Read.
And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is true.
Yeah.
For there are three that bear record in heaven.
Okay, watch it. Three that bear record in heaven.
The Father.
One.
The Word.
Two.
And the Holy Ghost.
Three.
And these three are
now,
one.
What were they bearing record of? Our earthly baptism? No. They were bearing record and stamping baptism as a fulfillment of righteousness. That's why Paul said in Romans 1:16, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Now, man cannot become righteous without getting baptized. Amen. Watch it now. Read on real quick.
And there are three that bear witness in earth.
Now, here come the earthly baptism.
The Spirit.
The Spirit.
And the water.
Water.
And the blood.
And blood.
And these three agree in one.
Now, these three go handling on the earth, right? The Father's not there. So here you are. You are dead in sin. We bury you in water. And in the water, you contact blood. Under the water, Acts 2:38, Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, you shall receive something. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is eternal life. So you got to have the Holy Spirit when you're baptized. The Holy Spirit then becomes indwelling. When the sin washed away, then the Holy Spirit can come into your body. Under the water where you have life. Spiritual life starts under the water. Amen, somebody. And then when you break water, that's when you live, just like your baby in your womb. The baby in the womb is in the womb of the mother in water. And once the baby come live in the world, he had to break the water. God's child must come get the seed. The seed is the blood. The DNA is the blood. That is the father. You got a son, and he comes up to live. That's you, this Christian. That makes sense? Yes. All right, now, what do you receive? He received the Holy Spirit. John 3:5. Get the books up real quick. John 3:5. One more illustration here. You got to see this. I think that's good, don't y'all? Yes. Got to see this. Let me get this out. Here go the situation. All three of them going to be right here. Notice that. You got, come on, John 3.
Jesus answered,
yeah.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit.
There's the water. Ain't that the water? We got the water. Read.
He cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Now, he got the water. Then when did he get the Spirit? Here's number two. He got the water, the Spirit. And so what's going to bear a record? The only way heaven will record your salvation is that you have to have water, blood, and Spirit. In John 19:32, God is a Spirit. So God was on the cross. When God was on the cross, John 19:34, they pierced God in the side. When they pierced God in the side, out came water, not knowing how to use this thing, water, and God is a Spirit. So we got the Spirit, blood, and water. Amen. And if you ain't had all three, you lost. Amen. And that's the record of John, that he baptized Jesus to fulfill righteousness. Jesus came to save sinners, of which he understand he had to shed blood. And before he shed his blood, he suffered. The lambs under the old law would cry. The screaming of the lamb would be horrendous on the Passover day in Jerusalem. The lamb would scream. And so what they wanted to do was silence the lamb. But the lamb was Jesus, who would be led up a hill called Calvary. Mm-hmm. And they would
the lamb would suffer before his death. So they get the Lamb of God on the cross, executed. The lamb is bleeding from whipping, bleeding from the crown of thorn. The lamb would hang in the morning. They're like on the Exodus. They kill the lamb in the morning, and they kill the lamb in the afternoon. Then Jesus would die in the morning, and he died in the afternoon. He went from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. They had to have the lamb off the tree or the crucifixion and bury him, but he couldn't stay buried because God came back on the scene, and God got him up. Amen, somebody. God got him up. He made known this was his son. His son was the Lamb of God. His son was buried. God raised him back up. And when he got up, we got it with all power. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and he'll baptize shall be saved. And today, my friend, I've shot straight with you. If you have not believed that Jesus is the Son of God, if you don't believe he's the Son of God, if you cannot be saved, you must believe, and we must baptize you this morning for the remission of your sin. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but. Here's what I want to do. If you're here and you're visiting, I've been shooting straight at you all morning. I've been telling you that the Church of Christ is where the saved people are. I told you you got to be baptized. I told you you got to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. I told you no such thing as denominational churches. I done gave you everything you need. The question is, do you believe the Bible? If you believe the Bible, then you must believe now you're lost. So you come by hearing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Number one, faith come by hearing the word of God. You hear the word of the gospel, believe it. Number two, you believe it with all of your heart. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He to come here must believe. Number three, you got to repent. Like John told those Pharisees, you know, it's at hand. You better repent. You can't keep living like you're living. Amen. You got to get it right. Start trying. Right. Amen. And then after that, you must be willing to stand before this altar and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, if you'll do that, I'll confess you before me. You confess me before me, I'll confess you before my Father. You deny me, I'm going to deny you. Don't do that today. After that, we're baptized. We got water, we got clothes, we got blood. God gave you the Spirit. He gave the blood and the Spirit. All we got to do is put you in the water. He do everything else. We don't have nothing to do but just take you down there. How many of y'all want to be cleansed? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in him this hour? Have you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And so you say, I need a new beginning, Brother Brooks. I messed up. I understand. All of us mess up. Ain't no big sin, little sin. Come on back. Come on over here, get baptized, and start your life now. And members of the church, you've been out there. You ain't been coming to church faithfully. You're not living right. You're coming here every week. At some point, you got to repent. You got to ask the church to pray for you and ask God to forgive you. That's called confessing your faults. We don't care about what you done done. We all mess up. But you got to confess your fault to get right with God. You got to make a confession. You got to say, I've sinned, brothers and sisters, and I need y'all to pray for me. And that's all you need to do. You need to get that right. Then those who are struggling, going through life challenges, life is presenting you situations. But God done came to give you a better way. He's there for you. He'll be with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You just got to come to him and let us pray with you, because the eyes of the Lord over the righteous and his ears are open to that prayer. So who should come? Those who've never been baptized, or those who were baptized before but not members of the Church of Christ. Who should come? Those members of the church who are trying to get their life restored. You've been backsliding. You know, fell away. Come back to the front trunk. Get God back in your life and let him bless your life. And then those who need prayer, we want you to pray. Come together. We stand and sing.